Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump threatens tariffs on European goods.
Carlos Ghosn speaks about his arrest.
This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
Plus, Theresa May brings Brexit talks to Berlin and Paris.
And SocGen announces major job cuts.
Members of Congress will try to grill Attorney General William Barr on Capitol Hill today. Now, the shakeup at Homeland Security continues. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NCAA championship game went overtime. Virginia beat Texas Tech. In Houston, the Astros rallied to beat the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are struggling for direction this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 1.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 10. NASDAQ futures down 8. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.1%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.51%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 23 cents to $64.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.60 to $13.05.50 an ounce. The euro at 1.1279 against the dollar and the yen at 111.32. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump preparing tariffs on European goods. The White House says EU subsidies to Airbus are harming Boeing. In response, it's proposing levies on imports from the bloc. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank with the latest.
The U.S. has proposed some $11 billion worth of tariff countermeasures that would hit a whole line of European products, from French Roquefort to British Stilton cheese to the big one is Airbus aircraft. This is in response to what the U.S. says had been EU subsidies for Airbus. This is a clear warning shot that the U.S. stands ready to go with tariffs on Airbus equipment in a very delicate moment for Boeing all around the world. This is a move that could absolutely help the U.S. U.S.'s largest plane maker and force some additional difficulties onto Airbus, its chief competitor.
And as shares of Airbus down nearly 1.5% this morning.
Meanwhile, in Asia, stocks had modest gains today to trade near 6 months highs. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The standout stock performer in Asia was Crown Resorts, jumping almost 20% in Sydney, the most on record. On confirmation, Wynn Resorts is in talks to buy the Australian casino company for $7.1 billion. Elsewhere, the yen held on to gains, which contributed to a mixed equity session in Japan, as the Nikkei closed higher by 0.2%. But the broader topics fell slightly. Chinese stocks were mostly firmer. The CSI 300 up by 0.5% on the close to a 12-month high. And tech stocks led gains on Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Car sales in China continue to slump. They've plunged for the 10th straight month. Retail auto sales dropped 12% in March as a slowing economy and U.S. trade tensions weigh on consumer sentiment. China says cars are currently the only shrinking consumer product group in the country.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn is speaking out about his arrest.
This is about a plot. This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
In a video recorded before his latest arrest, Ghosn blames Nissan executives for orchestrating his detention in a Japanese jail instead of working to fix the automaker's poor performance.
There was fear that the next step of the alliance in terms of convergence and in terms of moving toward the merger would in a certain way threaten some people or eventually threaten the autonomy of Nissan.
Carlos Ghosn repeated his claim of innocence in the 8-minute video and originally named specific people responsible for his arrest. Those names, however, were edited out due to the sensitive nature of Ghosn's current position. He's expected to remain in jail until at least Sunday.
On the Brexit front, Prime Minister Theresa May heads to Berlin and Paris today. She's looking for a short delay to the UK's exit from the EU. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from Brussels.
One day before this summit, she's decided to go see Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron. We know the French and the Germans have been very different when it comes to the negotiation. Angela Merkel herself many times has said that she will fight to get the deal done until that very last minute. Emmanuel Macron has flirted with the idea of a veto, a no-deal Brexit. But we understand that, in fact, the Germans and the French behind the scenes actually are preparing a much more coordinated response, and whatever we get tomorrow will be the result of a compromise between the two of them. And also at the same time, it's worth keeping in mind that here in Brussels, there's many other member states who at this point do not want to be seen as forcing a no-deal Brexit. So that's something that we need to keep in mind when it comes to maybe a debate on a veto.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports that summit tomorrow will play a large role in deciding the future of Brexit. EU officials want to make sure any delay won't allow Prime Minister May to disrupt the bloc's business.
Elsewhere in Europe, we have word of major job cuts at the investment banking unit of Societe Generale. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. About 1,600 jobs to go at France's SocGen. Now, three quarters of the positions are likely to be cut from the division which houses the bank's trading activities. You'll remember in the fourth quarter, trading revenue plunged 19%, capping a disappointing year for the lender. Its shares down 40% over the past 12 months. SocGen yet to detail exactly where the actual fall, but it says about 750 of the job losses will be in France. According to people familiar, London and New York also likely to be hit. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And back here in the U.S., Tesla's following a disappointing deliveries report by cutting more sales staff. Sources tell Bloomberg the company dismissed several dozen employees in Chicago, Brooklyn, and Tampa. Tesla confirms the cuts, but is declining to discuss specifics, including the number of personnel affected.
And futures, they're little change to lower this morning. S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures down 9.5. And the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.51%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.34%, and the 30-year yield at 2.91%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's here with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr is set to make an appearance on Capitol Hill today, his first since Special Counsel Robert Mueller wrapped up his investigation. And Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports Barr plans to hold off, though, on addressing the probe.
This will be Barr's first public testimony since his confirmation. It's a long-scheduled hearing to consider the Justice Department's budget, and Barr has indicated he doesn't plan to make any references to the Mueller report. He's promised to talk about that next month, but that won't stop Democrats from asking about it or from protesting his move to censor certain parts of it as he prepares to release it with redactions. He set his own deadline of mid-April to send that version to lawmakers. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Donald Trump is considering the removal of more top officials at the Department of Homeland Security after demanding the resignation of Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen as he purges the agency out of frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings. The White House announced Monday the Secret Service Director Randolph Alls would leave the administration, joining Nielsen, who announced she would resign effective Wednesday. The DHS Undersecretary for Management is likely to be removed or reassigned to clear the way for the president's preferred replacement for Nielsen. Benjamin Netanyahu is having the political fight of his life today as he seeks a fifth term as Prime Minister of Israel. And Bloomberg's Michael Arnold is in Jerusalem.
Facing potential indictment in multiple corruption cases, Netanyahu is locked in a close race against former Army Chief Benny Gantz. Polls published before the weekend showed Gantz's blue and white bloc with a slight lead over Netanyahu's Likud. But it doesn't really matter which party gets the most seats. The key is which leader can cobble together a majority of the 120-seat parliament. There, Netanyahu seems to have a clear advantage. The key will be how the smaller parties fare. A party must win at least 4 seats just to make it into parliament. Less than that, and its votes are discarded. If several small right-wing parties cross the threshold, Netanyahu seems likely to emerge as the winner. If they don't, President Reuven Rivlin could ask Gantz to form the next government. In Jerusalem, Michael Arnold, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The number of measles cases in the U.S. continues to grow. In New York City, ahead of Passover, the city health department is urging all New Yorkers, especially those in Orthodox Jewish communities, to get the measles vaccine to prevent further spread of the virus. Pediatric doctor Peter O'Connor is reminding everyone it can be deadly.
You can get pneumonia and you can get encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain from it. And it can also be fatal in about 1 out of 1,000 cases.
A New York City health officials say Orthodox Jewish schools in Brooklyn face possible closure if non-vaccinated students are allowed to attend classes. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashaw.
Nathan, when they write the story of Virginia's first national championship, it'll start with the 2018 NCAA tournament when Virginia made a different kind of history, first and only one seed to lose to a 16. Back this year as a one seed, they fell behind by 14 points in that first round, but won that game, won the next two, beat Purdue in overtime after a tying shot at the buzzer, beat Auburn at the Final Four despite trailing with a second left, and last night trailed Texas Tech.
Jerome will bring it up the floor. Jerome attacking, goes past Odiasse, kicks right corner, open three, DeAndre Hunter got it! Splashing it from the right corner to tie it at 68. 12.9 seconds to go.
Houston won NCAA Radio. So another overtime game, and the Cavaliers dominated the OT. An 11-0 run, 12-for-12 for the free throw line. Virginia 85, Texas Tech 77. The winning coach, Tony Bennett.
One of our themes, I told them before the Auburn game, I said, just bring your 2 fish and 5 loaves. It's a story in the Bible. And I said, it'll be enough. I said, it'll be enough for the masses. I said, when you guys play the right way, the collectiveness of it takes over. And I've watched it and I've stepped back and I've seen this. And now I've seen them mature through everything. And for them to do what they did, you know, and how they've won, it's a great story. It really is.
Speaking of coaches, St. John's reportedly needs a new one. Chris Mullen, who returned to his alma mater, got the Red Storm to this year's NCAAs, is said to be likely to resign. In Houston, Yankees led 3-1 seventh inning. The Astros tied it on a Robinson Chirinos two-run double off Zach Britton. They scored again in the eighth. They won 4-3. Aaron Judge homered off Justin Verlander in the loss. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures down almost 12 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with Mona Mahajan, head of U.S. investment strategy at Allianz Global Investors, as the threat of EU tariffs seems to have markets adrift this morning. Stay with us. This is Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are gaining and U.S. stock index futures drifting after President Trump threatened new tariffs on goods produced on the continent. Treasuries are steadying alongside the dollar. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2.5 points right now. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury now up 3/32, yield 2.50%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.34%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 30 cents to $64.70 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.20 to $13.05.10 an ounce. The euro at 1.1272 against the dollar. The yen at 111.26. And today we are watching for a report on small business confidence out in about 42 minutes from now at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. It's the Jolts Jobs Report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Donald Trump is considering the removal from more top officials at the Department of Homeland Security as he purges the agency out of frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings. The White House announced Monday that the Secret Service director would leave the administration. Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu faces the political fight of his life today when voters decide whether to endorse his muscular brand of nationalism or toss him out of office. And Attorney General William Barr is set to make an appearance on Capitol Hill today. His first since Special Counsel Robert Mueller wrapped up his investigation. It's a long-scheduled hearing to consider the Justice Department's budget, and Barr has indicated he doesn't plan to make any references to the Mueller report. And Bloomberg Sports, Virginia beats Texas Tech 85-77 in overtime to win the men's college basketball championship. And baseball, Yankees, A's, Nationals, and Giants all lose. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Mona Mahajan, Director of U.S. Investment Strategy at Allianz Global Investors. Nice to talk with you, Mona, with a focus this morning on the threat of tariffs on European goods from the Trump administration over the Airbus subsidies. We're seeing futures in the U.S. Little change to the downside this morning. What's your read on this market?
Yeah, thanks, Tucker. Generally, I think the market is in a little bit of a wait-and-see mode here. I think the next big catalyst, in fact, is going to be Q1 earnings. We should get a nice kickoff this Friday, in fact, with the bank earnings coming through. So I think in the midterm, or in the interim, people will be watching the headlines that go through from geopolitical front, both on tariffs, Brexit, et cetera. Also be watching some of the economic data that's coming in, including that NFIB Small Business Optimism Survey. But I think really what the market is waiting for is to see if Q1 earnings and, of course, the Q2 outlook is in line or perhaps even stronger than we had expected coming into the quarter. I think on the trade front, I believe the primary focus for President Trump and his team will be trying to get a Chinese resolution. The Europeans at this point are not in a very strong negotiating position. Obviously, economy is softening quite a bit. And so I think there may be some focus on that front, perhaps to kind of take some advantage of that as well.
Looking ahead to the earnings, particularly bank earnings coming out on Friday, what's your expectation heading in?
Yeah, so, I think overall markets are looking for a negative year-on-year growth expectation for Q1. It's about negative 4%. And in fact, for the entire year, we're looking at about a 4% growth rate in the S&P year-on-year. And that's compared to nearly, 20% plus in 2018, which, of course, was in part driven by fiscal stimulus, tax reform, and stronger GDP growth overall. But I do think, in this environment where you get a 4% earnings growth, equity markets can actually hold up okay. What we're looking at going into Q1 is clearly when companies were issuing their guidance, Q4 was quite a difficult period. There was some expectation of recession on the horizon or an imminent recession on the horizon. And so there was, not much optimism. And I think some of the guidance for Q1 reflects that. So the question will be, did they overshoot to the downside? And I think a lot of people are watching for that. Negative 3.9% in Q1, supposed to be flattish in Q2. What's very interesting to us is that Q3 and then particularly Q4 expectation, which is supposed to be about 9%. So somewhat of a V-shaped or hockey stick shape recovery in quarterly earnings this year. And that back half of the year will be vital to see if we can, in fact, grow around those levels in the second half of the year.
It sounds like you're thinking we might be at risk of or perhaps even in an earnings recession at this point.
I think the negative 4%, our expectation is that perhaps it comes in actually slightly ahead of that. I think Q1 will be soft. I think Q2 is where, you're flat right now. A little, a few basis points on the downside will put you into technically a negative earnings. And you could then see a technical earnings recession. Our expectation, however, remains that if there is an earnings recession, it will be brief. And in fact, that second half recovery that I alluded to earlier, we're seeing more and more green shoots for that to occur. And I think partly that's because we're seeing the Chinese aggressively, stimulate their economy, and we're seeing early signs that that might be working. We're also seeing a consumer that's relatively resilient, low unemployment rate, consumer confidence still near highs, lower oil prices this year versus last year are all supportive of the consumer in the U.S. And so I think there are reasons for optimism as we head into the second half of this year. Clearly, we'll be hearing or watching for commentary, from the companies themselves. I'm sure many of them will also note that, some of the geopolitical issues, including trade in particular, would be helpful to get some resolution on. And so if that occurs, another reason, for the second half of the year to be a little bit more clearer.
Only about 20 seconds left. What's your outlook for the S&P 500 this year?
So yeah, you know, our kind of general outlook is for high single digits to low mid-teen returns for the year. And I think if you look historically, 4% earnings growth rate kind of supports that. We have done a quick analysis where we bucketed earnings into different buckets, and this negative 10 to 10% high single digits, low teens growth, very feasible.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Mona Mahajan, Director of U.S. Investment Strategy, Allianz Global Investors. Thanks for this. S&P futures are 1.5 points lower now. Dow futures down 4. NASDAQ futures down 11. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower, while European shares are higher after the Trump administration threatened Europe with new tariffs. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank has the very latest.
The Trump administration has said that it is going to consider tariffs on about $11 billion worth of European goods. Now, these range anywhere from helicopter parts to wine and cheese, but I think that the big thing in that list is Airbus planes themselves.
The White House is threatening tariffs because it says EU subsidies for Airbus are harming business for Boeing, and that has shares of Airbus down nearly 2% in Paris.
Prime Minister Theresa May travels to Paris and Berlin today to try to win a short delay to Brexit. Bloomberg's Adam Blenford reports from London.
Mrs. May is going off to see Emmanuel Macron in France. She's going off to see Angela Merkel in Berlin to try and talk around the details of what the UK might get out of an EU summit tomorrow. Mrs. May has asked for an extension to the Brexit deadline. She wants that extended to June the 30th. But the likelihood is that the Europeans will ask the UK to commit to something quite a bit longer, perhaps even into next year.
EU leaders meet in Brussels tomorrow to consider May's request to delay Brexit till June 30th.
Societe Generale says it plans to cut about 1,600 jobs, mostly at its investment bank unit. The French lender blames a slump in trading revenue.
It's not just in investment banks. More job cuts at Tesla. Bloomberg has learned the electric car maker dismissed several dozen members of its sales team across the U.S.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn says his arrest was part of a conspiracy. Ghosn's lawyers today releasing a video message he recorded before his latest incarceration in Tokyo.
This is a conspiracy. This is not about specific events. This is not about greed. This is not about dictatorship. This is about a plot. This is about conspiracy. This is about backstabbing. That's what we're talking about.
Ghosn was rearrested at his Tokyo apartment on April 4th and is expected to remain in jail until at least Sunday. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are little changed this morning, down a point. Dow futures also little changed, up a point. And NASDAQ futures are down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.51%. Yield on the 2-year 2.35%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Nathan. Members of Congress will try to grill Attorney General William Barr about the Mueller report on Capitol Hill today. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports from Washington.
The hearing is to present the Justice Department's budget request. It's not before one of the committees investigating the president and the Russians. But Barr can't expect to be asked about his decision to state that the Mueller report did not establish obstruction of justice, a conclusion Mueller himself chose to leave open. As he continues to black out sections of the report before presenting it to Congress, Barr has said he would testify when it's released. In Washington, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Donald Trump is considering the removal of more top officials at the Department of Homeland Security after demanding the resignation of Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen as he purges the agency out of frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings. The White House announced Monday that the Secret Service director would leave the administration. A San Francisco judge has blocked the Trump administration's policy of sending asylum seekers back to Mexico. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
This is they wait for an immigration court to hear their cases, but the ruling is on hold now for several days until Friday, so the Trump administration can decide whether to file an appeal. The judge ruling the policy lacks sufficient protections to ensure migrants don't face undue risk to their lives or freedoms, in quotes, in Mexico, and that a law that the administration cited as its authority to send back migrants does not apply to asylum seekers such as those who sued. It was not immediately clear whether the administration would ask an appeals court to put the ruling on hold. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Benny Gantz, the main challenger to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel's general elections, has cast his ballot, calling for a new dawn for that country. Gantz's blue and white party is inched ahead of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud in polls. Netanyahu still appears to have the best chance of forming a coalition. Turkey's ruling party will demand a rerun of last month's local election for the mayor's seat in Istanbul. The election looked like it had stripped the city from President Erdogan and parties affiliated to him for the first time in 25 years. And U.S. forces in Afghanistan say three U.S. service members and a contractor have been killed in a roadside bombing near the main American airbase in the country. The Taliban claim responsibility for the attack. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashar.
Nathan, nothing came easy for Virginia. In the last three games, they won in overtime, needing a shot at the buzzer of regulation. Then they won by a point after trailing with a second left. And then last night's championship game in Minneapolis, they led Texas Tech most of the night, but trailed by three. DeAndre Hunter tied the game with 13 seconds left. So another overtime game and another Virginia win. 85-77 over Texas Tech. Hunter picked a good time for a career-high 27 points. He was the most outstanding player. Kyle Guy, who had the heroics of the semifinals, added 24 and remembered back to last year when Virginia, as a one seed, lost a 16th seed at UMBC.
We all had the same goal in mind for next year, and that was to win a national championship. You know, we've all had our own battles, and I said earlier that it's a really special group because we all had the same why amongst otherwise, but to share the same one and, you know, to battle through everything we battled through and come out on top is a, you know, fantastic feeling.
First title in school history. At St. John's, Chris Mullen reportedly going to resign after 4 years. Former star player had returned to coach his alma mater. In Houston, the Yankees and Masahiro Tanaka had a lead on Justin Verlander. Aaron Judge with a home run. But the Astros rallied on Yankee relievers Zach Britton and Adam Ottavino. They beat Aaron Boone's team 4-3.
I thought our plan was good. I thought guys executed. I thought guys played well. Masa was terrific. So, yeah, you know, it stings a little bit when you lose a game like that where you feel like you played pretty well. But, you know, we'll get back at it tomorrow.
And while CC Sabathia is set to return Saturday, could be a while for Luis Severino. He's having another MRI on his injured shoulder. Severino tried to throw, said it didn't feel right. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow with Nathan.
John, one other note on last night's championship game. The winner of the Bloomberg Brackets for a Cause, Jim Chanos. The famed short sellers made a career on Wall Street out of betting against the crowd, but in basketball, going with a favorite made him the winner. He correctly picked top seed Virginia to win it all. Participants in Brackets for a Cause donated $10,000. The total pot goes to charities of the three participants with the most accurate brackets. Chanos chose Médecins du Monde Gris. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on unicorns spreading fear of an end to the bull market. Also in this week's issue, the ETF trade that's being used to dodge taxes. Rachel Evans wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
September, we saw this enormous kind of like inflow of cash into a technology fund, followed a day later by an outflow of cash.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg's Ed Khoury has this morning's Tri-State Business Report.
Morning Nathan Casino profits fell more than 15% in Atlantic City last year. The drop comes despite the reopening in June of the Revel as the Ocean Resort Casino and the Trump Taj Mahal as the Hard Rock. Bethany Frankel, one of the original Real Housewives of New York City, is relisting her Soho apartment for $4.37 million. The Post says that's down from its 2017 asking price of $5.25 million. Meanwhile, former CEO Jack Welch, GE, finally found a buyer for his apartment at 1 Beacon Court. It was last priced at $24.9 million, down from $25.9 million last year. And Boeing's plan to cut 737 jetliner production is expected to have negative spillover effects across the aerospace industry. United Technologies, based in Connecticut, has an aerospace unit with a large exposure to the MAX program. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Cheap natural gas in Asia is dragging down shares of American coal companies.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about more staff cuts at Tesla.
I'm Anna Edwards on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following consumer spending in the UK as Brexit concerns weigh on retail sales.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Nestle's sale of its lunch meat business may attract interest from Cargill and others.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple's healthcare market opportunity could be worth up to $313 billion in sales, according to one analyst.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are gaining this morning, while U.S. stock index futures are little changed. This after President Trump threatened new tariffs on goods produced on the continent. Treasuries are steady alongside the dollar. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little change, down a point. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures down about 8. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.2, yield 2.51%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 32 cents to $64.72 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.90 to $13.05.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.1275 against the dollar, and the yen at 111.29. And we're watching for a report on small business confidence. It's out in about 13 minutes from now at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. We get the Jolts Jobs Report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. Attorney General William Barr facing congressional lawmakers for the first time since receiving the special counsel's report on the Russia investigation. It's a long-time scheduled hearing to consider the Justice Department's budget. The director of the U.S. Secret Service is leaving his job. The move follows President Trump's ouster of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen on Sunday as his frustration over a spike in illegal border crossings grows. And actor Felicity Huffman, among the more than dozen people who have pleaded guilty of the U.S. college admissions scandal, as prosecutors aggressively get admissions from wealthy parents looking for deals to reduce their punishment. Sports, Virginia beats Texas Tech 85-77 in overtime to win the men's college basketball championship. In baseball, the Yankees, the A's, Nationals, and Giants all lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan is with us from our London bureau, starting this morning with Brian Chapata's look at Saudi Aramco's mega debt deal, $85 billion of orders for its debut bond issue. Chapata says it's almost unsurprising how much interest this is getting.
Yeah, his point is that this deal ticks just about every box that there could be for a bond investor. It's the world's largest oil company. Also worth noting, it generated the most profit of any corporation on the planet in 2018. It has never issued dollar debt before, so that's a big perk if you're a money manager who wants some diversification. And you've got J.P. Morgan Chase's Jamie Dimon behind it. So put it all together, and lo, you've got $85 billion of orders and counting.
Yeah, so those are the big pros. And, of course, there are cons here. I would guess the biggest one being Saudi Aramco's ties to the Saudi government.
That is part of it. And one of the big winners from the sale probably isn't Aramco so much as the sovereign wealth fund. Chapata also makes a couple of other interesting points. It's worth us all wondering what the energy sector, and therefore the financial situation of Saudi Arabia itself, is going to look like in 20 to 30 years' time. And that's when some of the portions of this bond sale are going to mature. It's also worth remembering that the entire point of the exercise is for Aramco to buy a majority stake in SABIC, the country's largest listed company. And so there's a way in which you can just look at this is shuffling state assets from one pocket to another.
And of course, the big bottom line for any bond issue is the price right? What's Chapata think?
Well, this is a six-part sale, so let's look at one of it. This is the 10-year portion, and it looks like that's going to offer an extra yield of 125 basis points over treasuries. So there's no real perfect comparisons here. I mean, indeed, part of the issue here is that it's a debut bond sale. But if you look at the Bloomberg Barclays Index of U.S. corporate debt, that has an average maturity of 11 years and a spread of 116 basis points over treasuries. So there is certainly a little bit of a pickup, but it's not tons. Then another way of looking at it is the idea that, you know, there is so much demand. What is Saudi going to do with it? So it can either boost the size of the deal or it could even offer lower yields. If that happens, there's a potential risk here that yields could actually wind up being lower than what you can get off the sovereign versus treasuries. And for some investors, that's going to be a line that they're not going to be willing to cross.
All right, let's move on to the latest piece from former NATO Supreme Allied Commander James Stavridis. He's taking a deep dive into the power struggle surrounding the backbone of the internet. And in this case, we mean deep dive, quite literally.
We do. I mean, if you think of what comprises the internet and what's at its heart, you might think satellites and cell phone towers. But no, actually, about 95% of all data and voice traffic travels across about 400 submerged cables. These were largely built by the U.S. and its allies, and the U.S. internet giants, you know, the likes of Google and Facebook, they rent a great deal of space across all of these cables. But now the situation is that China's Huawei Technologies is getting involved in constructing or improving nearly 100 of the cables around the world.
And you hear the name Huawei and you think whether this raises security concerns.
And the argument here is that this is something that really is worth watching because securities experts are justifiably concerned about the inclusion potentially of espionage backdoors in Huawei's 5G technology. And there's Western intelligence professionals potentially opposing the company's engagement in the undersea version of this. And that provides a much bigger bang for the buck because so much data rides on so few cables. Huawei denies any manipulation of the cable sets it's constructing.
Is there anything more that the U.S. can do? I mean, it's already targeted Huawei significantly.
The idea is to just sort of exercise your intelligence and cyber gathering capability to find hard evidence of backdoors and security risks. There's no hope of stopping Huawei from building them or keeping private owners from contracting with Chinese firms on modernizing them purely based on suspicions. But once Washington has real evidence of risks that it can share with its allies, it can put this matter on the agenda in just the same way as it did with the 5G concerns. And the idea would be to persuade friendly governments and Western companies that working with the Chinese won't pay off in the long term.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you. You can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers type OPIN Go in the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
New York State could be the vehicle for Congress to get a hold of President Trump's tax returns. Bills from Democratic state lawmakers would allow for the release of his state filings while efforts to obtain his federal tax returns continue. Auditors are giving quarterly reports an extra dose of scrutiny this spring as companies shift to new lease accounting rules. And the Fifth Circuit should set oral arguments for July in a pivotal case that struck down Obamacare.
The government says a quick appeal would reduce uncertainty in the healthcare sector and shouldn't have any adverse effects on the parties.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now another legal news. Preet Bharara was a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York for 8 years. He racked up more than 90 convictions for insider trading and became known as the Sheriff of Wall Street. Now he has a new book entitled Doing Justice, A Prosecutor's Thoughts on Crime, Punishment, and the Rule of Law. He speaks with Bloomberg's June Grasso about the book and the Southern District's investigation into Trump campaign finances.
The Southern District has long been known for those in legal circles as the most independent of federal prosecutors' offices. Now the general public is starting to hear that. Is it independent enough to bring the investigations into President Trump and those around him to a proper conclusion without interference?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at the book and read it, it has a lot of interesting things to say about the criminal justice system and about decision making, but it also reveals a lot about the character, the philosophy, the people in that office, how they deliberate over decisions, how they decide to bring a case, how they decide when appropriate and in the interest of justice to walk away from a case. So they have an aggressive streak, an independent streak, but they also, you know, color within the lines. They don't do things that are inappropriate. They don't defy Department of Justice policy or law. And as we've been talking about for a lot of weeks and months now, whether you like it or not, there is a policy in the Justice Department, in an opinion at the Office of Legal Counsel, a special subdivision of the Justice Department, that says you cannot indict or prosecute a sitting president. So I don't think that the Southern District that I led for almost 8 years will do that while the president is in office. But short of that, I think they'll follow the facts where they lead. They'll do what the law permits, and they'll be aggressive and fearless about it, but also fair.
Is there a lot of interference from Maine justice when you're at the Southern District and you're running the office?
I wouldn't say interference. There, you know, people want to know what's going on. Look, the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney's Office is within the Justice Department, and there's a healthy back and forth between the mothership in Washington and the offices like the Southern District and others. But, you know, people may not appreciate this. The Attorney General of the United States is confirmed by the Senate, nominated by the President, but so is the U.S. Attorney. It's not like the Attorney General at the Justice Department picks all the U.S. attorneys. The U.S. attorneys are picked by the President and confirmed by the Senate. Of course, we're part of the fabric of the Justice Department.
And that's Preet Bharara, the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And again, S&P futures are little changed this morning, down about 2.5 points right now. Dow futures down 2, NASDAQ futures down about 9. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.51%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.35%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.